In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, Chestnut and Gary welcome extra special guest host Mark. The queens develop panel discussions in front of a live audience about face, body, and hair. And this week's word is proportionizing. But it's the runway's hat entertainment where Hera and even IKEA lamps sit atop these queens. Tune in and find out what moments made the guys weep and which panel discussions they would attend at the next DragCon. As COL Drag Race Tea Time Season 10, Episode 6 starts now.
Tens across the board.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, kitty girls, it's April 30th, 2018, and welcome to Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time. It is season 10, episode number 6, Drag Con Panel Extravaganza. All right, just as a side note, that's one word I really wish we would drop because it's overused now. Okay, Mama Roo, thank you. All right, so for those of you that don't know who I am, what we do here, Cubs Out Loud, we have a little like side thing we do, and we talk about Drag Race. So I happen to be one of the co-hosts. My name is Gary, and with me is my everlasting gobstopper of a host.
I have to remember where I'm at. I'm no longer at Claw, so it's Chester, not Pup Shutter.
But you still look fabulous in a crown, honey, so...
Which I got tons and tons of compliments on it all fucking weekend. And I would not be surprised if there's a few leather companies out there that are going to be selling them soon.
Oh, I don't doubt it. It's always good to be the originator and imitated, I say. Now, this week we are joined by extra special guest host, Mark.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me. It's been lovely to be here. And, you know, I've been a long time listener and it's great to finally join you guys and gab.
Well, we are happy to pop your cherry. So
it's been a long time since I've had a cherry. So let's pop it. Yay.
Good deal. So for those of you that don't happen to know what happened this past week on RuPaul's Drag Race season 10, episode number 6, you should probably go watch it because all three of us happened to be donning a chapeau of some sort because the runway challenge was hats entertaining or entertainment, I think it was. So that being said, we're going to jump into talking about our mini maxi here in just a second. All right, so mini maxi, where we talk about the things that stood out that happened this week. So we kind of had just the maxi challenge, if I recall correctly, because I only saw it once yesterday, and it was drag con panels. So the girls were divided into three groups where they talked about hair, body, adi, adi, and face. And so there were nine, they were each panel of three. And then they had to present to a live audience, not just the judges, but people that were there, answer questions and deliver edutainment, as I call it. So it was educational, but entertaining at the same time.
So where was the food sitting coming into all of that then?
Mark has an excellent point. So I kind of jumped to that. So the mini challenge was Sitting on a Secret, which is a callback to a previous season's like musical number. Rue says it's the sensation sweeping the nation. And I thought, I don't know how many people are actually trying this as a game legitimately, because I sure as hell haven't heard of it. I mean, last weekend at Claw, there was a lot of people probably trying to sit on things, but that's another story.
Well, and I'm watching them going, where is this going? How do you win? What? Okay, so obviously there was a winner, and I don't remember who it was, but I just watching them sit on objects going, there's going to be a cake appear somewhere in this. Where is this going? And of course, we ended up sitting on cakes, and I just went, okay, All right, sure.
Well, they sat on cake, they sat on eggplant, they sat on traffic cones, which, by the way, I have seen in certain areas of the internet that are related XXX. So
with enough lube, anything is possible.
Well, that is true.
and according to Rue, if you want it bad enough, it will fit.
That's so true. So yeah, we do have a mini challenge, the sitting on a secret, where they're all sitting on a throne. Now, I happen to notice at a certain point, everybody looked like they were wearing the same pair of shorts. Now, that wasn't for the whole challenge, because someone had a bright pair of green pants and some other things. But I thought, did they like go out and buy like a whole bunch of like cheapy gym shorts, like in every size from like 0 to like 28 or something, to try to get the girls to fit in? Because if I was one of them as a contestant, I'd be a little pissy about having to sit on things that are going to make a mess out of your bottom attire. That's just kind of.
Well, and that stuff's a booger to get out. I know it's just sugar and frosting, but that is tough to get out.
Or as Ginger Tea Time points out, the very first object was a relic from the past, a fax machine, which was kind of comical.
Yeah.
Except for it also got broken. So I think that's why they moved on to like edible items and other interesting points. So Mark, your thoughts are really sitting on food? Like, you weren't really a fan of that part?
Well, I just, okay. So I'm watching this going, where's this going? We're going to get to food eventually. You know, we saw the obvious eggplant come rolling through. And then of course we see 3 or 4 of them sit on a cake or a pie or something. And I'm like, okay, this is where this was going. So we pick a winner. And what does that winner get? I mean, she got a prize, obviously. Good for her. Yay. She, you know, $2,000 to something. And I went, okay, so where's the leverage in this? You've won a mini challenge. What do you get out of it besides a prize? And that's all. She got a prize. She didn't get to define the groups, didn't, you know, get to set anybody up. It's just kind of like, okay, you win a prize. Now let's go on. Let's pick groups.
And that tends to happen sometimes in the seasons where you think the winning of the mini challenge is leveraged to something else. Like, it used to be long time ago in a previous set of seasons, you actually got immunity.
Yeah.
But yeah, they eliminated that shit. So nobody's safe anymore. Like, you just kind of get to be like person in charge who makes decisions. And sometimes that doesn't happen. And I think it's been quite a while since Damon and I had discussed it a couple seasons ago, but sometimes you just win. So that says to me, they got a donation or something. They just need to give that shit away. And they didn't know what to do with it. So they were just like, we need a winner. Oh, you're a winner, darling. Here, have something. So yeah, I believe Asia is actually the winner, because she got the bootay that knows how to tell whatever it is that she's sitting on, which she is a pageant queen. So I don't know if that's like a talent of hers that she's competed with in the past, but perhaps as she continues on in this competition and tours the country and the world, she might be doing that a lot more on stage. I don't know. That would be kind of funny to see. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was wondering where it was going, and it didn't kind of play out the way I thought it would. And I thought, all right, she wins a prize. Let's, you know, and it kind of moved on. So I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yeah,
it didn't bother me that they were using food until they used a fish. Then I was like, what the fuck?
That was so funny.
Like, I got the pie. That's funny.
Grilled chicken breast.
You know, like, clown with a seltzer bottle kind of way. Same with the cake. I got it. But then there was a fish, and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you people that you're making them sit on a fish?
Well, all right, so here's the thing is, the fish I thought would be a problem for the vegetarians. And then Cameron Michaels did not seem to be down for sitting on marshmallows.
No, I have a funny that stuff feeling. Was sticky.
I had a funny feeling that shit stuck to her coochie, you know, Daisy Duke jeans, and she got motherfucking hairy legs. Did you see that shit? I was like, oh, I know some men that would like, nom, 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 you know, nom nom and eat them marshmallows off them hairy gams. But I was like, dang.
Yes, Cameron is a hairy monkey from the waist down, evidently, because she ain't shaving her legs. And good for her. Yeah, those things were tangled up in her leg hair, and I just thought, okay, those need to disappear.
Yeah, I was surprised by the marshmallows myself, but maybe that's why they did it. Like they chose things to get reactions out of not only the queens, but then us as an audience. Because, you know, sitting on, I don't know, something conventional probably would have been boring as hell, you know. I mean, and to be fair, it's not a sponsor this season, but if they sat on like Hamburger Mary's, that probably would have been a bad thing. So, you know, you don't want to make the sponsors mad. Chester, did you have any thoughts on anything else on the mini challenge or even the maxi challenge from this episode?
No. Other than, well, I think we're probably going to talk about the maxi challenge and runway looks in a little bit. So I'll let Mark lead us off into that.
All right. So does that mean we want to jump into Untucked then?
Sure.
Yeah, let's jump.
Okay.
Girl, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
All right, I'm going to put this out there right now immediately because I already said it in our COL Entourage Drag Race chat. Untucked undid me. Like, I'd been gone for the weekend. Chester, Damon, and I, we were all at Claw, an event that was happening in Cleveland, Ohio. So we didn't watch it while we were gone, got home. And I was actually second out of the three of us, I think, to watch. So I'm on the couch and I'm trying to eat some food and I'm watching the regular show. And then we get to Untucked and we already have the emotional thing that we find out about Blair St. Clair and her revelation that she was raped in college. And her, like, you know, that happens on the runway, but not all the girls are there. So then she talks about it in Untucked. We get Eureka's mom showing up and we find out that Eureka's mom is doing better with her cancer recovery and that she wasn't talking when Eureka leaves, but now she's talking. So I was a mess. I was an absolute wreck watching Untucked. And it wasn't like the eating popcorn, like excited mess. It was the, I'm just weeping all over the place because we've got mamas who love their boys, their lady boys, and are dealing with shit in their lives. It was kind of crazy. So, Mark, what were your thoughts about Untucked?
I agree with all the feels, you know, and I agree with you on all of those points. And I kind of wanted to steer away from that because I thought it was a little, I mean, everybody's going to mention that. And I thought Blair's revelations were good. It was great to see Eureka kind of open up and kind of mend some of those fences a little bit where she kind of said, you know, I'm a lot to handle sometimes. And she kind of owned a few of her bits and pieces, which is great. But the thing that stood out for me most is the vixen was shook. I think she walked off of that runway and was more shook than she was letting on. She has got a poker face. And the fact that she was sitting there with the group going, oh, this is all on Miss Cracker and Blair, and they hit them the hardest. And I thought each one of them got bumped around a little about the same. And I thought they were all three at risk. And I think the vixen was shook. And she hit it by going, oh, it's all on them. I'm safe. It's going to be them. And I don't know if she was trying to convince herself and the group at the same time. But it came across to me like she was shook up.
Now, see, I took it as that she was ignorant AF. And I don't mean as intelligent. I just mean that she just was not picking it up. Like she was not picking up the fact that she was in the bottom. I was like,
right.
How do you not understand, sweetheart? Like I thought it was a weird deflection kind of like obviously not, I'm not in the bottom too. And I'd already seen the whole episode. So I'm watching Untucked afterwards going, oh girl, like you're in for a world of hurt. But then I already knew how the episode ended. And that she was well prepared. So I was like, wait, like, so maybe you are right, Mark. Like she was trying really hard to like sell it to them. You know what I mean? Like,
remind me what the song was.
It's Diana Ross.
It was a drag standard, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I think she was prepared on the song. She might not have been prepared so much for the edit or the cut. I think she was prepared on the song as just a drag standard. I don't know.
Ginger is reminding us it's I'm coming out.
There you go. Okay. So maybe she was prepared on that aspect and just knew the song and was comfortable enough with it. Because, yeah, they didn't show her rehearsing at all or listening to the song or the cut or any of it.
Well, yeah. So like Drew says, Vixen seemed more human than usual. It was nice to see. Ginger says it kind of felt like it was her defense mechanism, like her behavior. So, yeah, you have a point. I mean, it is I'm coming out by Diana Ross, which of certain ages or certain generations, it is a standard, most likely in drag. And that's one of the things I've heard about and seen online. People are saying because Blair St. Clair is so young, that might have been to her detriment that she wasn't that familiar with the number. And to be fair, the entire thing of Untucked, practically, she was practicing and practicing and practicing. Like, I think she didn't expect to be in the bottom, but once they got critiqued, she was like, I'm probably fucking lip syncing. I need to know this shit. Hence, she's always in the background, and they had to like kind of call everybody together to watch the TV, and then they went away and then call them back together to watch TV again, which I thought was kind of funny. But I also thought it was very revealing that the way they aired Untucked, we saw Eureka's mama first and her sister. Then we saw Blair St. Clair's mom. And I was like, all right, if they'd only done Eureka, it would be no big deal. But the fact that I'd already seen the episode and we knew, spoiler alert, that Blair goes home, I was like, well, then we have to watch Blair's like taped thing from home. So I thought, you know, if they hadn't shown Eureka's mom and they just showed Blair's mom, it would be kind of a tip off, but not quite. So maybe they show them in reverse order. I kind of doubt it, though. So it seemed a little strange to me.
Yeah, had they shown it last week or maybe the week before, it would have gone unnoticed, I think. But I think they had this footage and they went, okay, she's in danger. You know, danger, Will Robinson, she's in danger. We need to use this. Yeah. While we can. You and
Danger Girl.
Yeah, you and Danger Girl. We need to use this footage before it goes to waste.
Well, and like Ginger said, Blair's lip syncing reminded her of when Yara Sophia broke down at the end of her tenure on season 3. And I think that's fair if you're coming from the standpoint of Blair St. Clair kind of lost wind or in her sails or energy. Like, yes, she was lip syncing, but she wasn't turning anything out. Now, to be fair, I'm becoming more critical of the lip syncs as they go by, and not just in this season, like for life now, I'm probably going to be an asshole about them because I was really pissy about Shangela in season 3 All-Stars because, in my opinion, she just became a stunt queen. She became like, you know, it was all about a prop. It was all about an extra thing. And we had our discussion about her and the fat suit thing. And so I'm like, is this really necessary to kind of pull that out? Now, the Vixen didn't really do any of that. She was far more acrobatic in her dancing. She did tumble rolls, which were kind of unique. Some of them I'd never seen before. So Blair wasn't really doing anything. I mean, she was doing a lot of like Broadway power ballad emoting. That was kind of it. So I think her lip sync wasn't as good.
I don't think the Vixen's outfit was anything to write home about. I thought it was a bit obvious too.
And obvious in what sense? Can you elaborate?
I think it's been done before.
Yeah, when she came out, that was my thought. I'm like, I swear I've seen this look on somebody.
Yep, but somebody else.
I couldn't remember who.
Me either. And Blair's lip sync was very reminiscent of Miss Comatose from Trixie Mattel from season 7. Was very arms out. Oh Lord, I'm missing names now. I'm getting old. This is
yeah, I do.
crap. It'll come to me later. When Trixie Mattel was on the first time, season 7, and when Trixie came back, they were attached at the hip. They were the sisters. And she was the pretty one. Trixie was the one on the braces and the headband. Oh, for criminy sakes. Anyway, it's gone. It'll come to me later. But it was just very much reminded me of that. Arms stuck straight out, kind of, but a little more a little more emoting, but yet it was just very reminiscent of that.
Was it her and Pearl?
Yes, Pearl. When Pearl lip-synced for her life in those couple of episodes, it was arms straight out and very, you know, leaning back, kind of gyrating. And I just, it made me think of, Blair just made me think of that. I'm just like, oh my God.
Ginger Tea Time just reminded me of this meme. Pearl smash.
Yes.
For that season. Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, so just, I don't know. I knew Blair was in trouble from the kind of the start of the song. And then when she didn't know what to do with the music interlude, and I thought, oh, well, Vixen pulled something out. You know, at least she was trying to, you know, kind of play the saxophone and kind of work the jazz interlude.
That was awful. I, as a former music education student in college, I was so peeved the moment she starts trying to play what we think is maybe a trumpet or a cornet to the trombone solo. And I was like,
yeah,
I was like, what are you doing, bitch? I was like, I'm more mad that you're trying to imitate an instrument because it's a wrong damn instrument.
Well, and her hands were like this close together, you know, and it was just like, how big is this thing you're playing? So, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, she wasn't trying to play skin flute. So,
true.
Yeah, no, so I guess, like, yes. Yeah, I like it. Like, all right, maybe 1 point for that, because Blair didn't do it at all. So, which is kind of comical because Blair, knowing Broadway and stuff, and the way she was dressed, it was kind of like, girl, like, this is very Hello Dolly. This is very like Music Man. Like,
yeah. And she was just kind of moving very ballet, very floaty. And I'm just like,
okay. Chester, did you have any thoughts on Untucked?
No, you guys already covered it. It was, I was watching it and, you know, well, I've got a lot of shit going on in my personal life, so I'm sure that may have something to do with it, but yeah, I started tearing up a bit too, when, the video for after the video for Blair had come on and she was talking about the things that had happened to her, I had teared up a little bit.
Yeah, she, in the edit of the actual show, that really seemed to come from out of nowhere. And I kind of wish we could have seen more context to understand why that revelation came bubbling up, because they were critiquing her look and her kind of, but just kind of like her version of being a drag queen. And somehow that suddenly seemed to jump and skipped into her talking about rainbows and everything being bright and being positive. And I think that was somehow related to the fact that they were discussing that like Miss Cracker and Vixen were doing character assassinations against her. And it wasn't funny. It was like shitty. Like it wasn't really like fun shade.
Right. There was something with the editing that when you were watching it, I was like, that was a weird jump. It like had no segue. It went from whatever they were talking about to this other thing and kind of threw me off for a moment.
Right. Yeah. So I was a little confused while watching it that, like, I hate to say this, it was almost like somebody kicked Blair in the ass, like with a steel toe boot, like out of nowhere. It was just like, bam. And now
hey, talk about this thing.
Right. Well, no. And like, then the tears start coming and like, and all this stuff comes out. And I'm kind of like, what the hell happened? Like, I was like, I mean, it was so poignant and pivotal. And I hate to say this, but there was a small part of me that thought, I really hope this is not a tactic to save yourself. Blair does not strike me as this type of a person, but there have been times in previous seasons where I feel that an emotional play to the judges is sort of being used to maybe save your ass. And I don't think Blair was doing that, but it was, I felt bad that I thought that for the briefest moment, like, if you think you're in the bottom and you think you might be going home, that this might help you. And that's kind of, I think, been an underlying potential ever since Roxy Andrews being left at the bus stop kind of moment. I think some people have kind of felt like, okay, like, you know, we understand that it's high pressure and you're out there for hours and like your feet are bleeding because you've been standing there for an hour or whatever. And so, you know, your mind wanders and all this stuff comes out. But at the same time, when we see the show, the way it's put together, it's kind of like, you know, your head's on the chopping block. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. That being said, though, I have already seen Blair St. Clair's new music video that came out to coincide with her episode. And I think it's really good. She is kind of doing an empowering anthem about, you know, making decisions and changing your life and being good. So I was happy for that. Are we ready to move on?
Sure.
The time has come for you to lip sync for your life. Good luck. And don't fuck it up.
Yeah, so don't fuck it up. Those will be interesting. So we get to what we call our snaps and eye rolls. Mr. Mark is our guest. What do you have snaps for this week?
I have a couple. My snaps are for Eureka's mommy because she made me cry. And also for Blair and... You know, she hung a lot out there. She kind of took her guts and she hung them out there and she put them in front of everybody and put them on display, poked them with a stick a little bit, you know, that kind of thing. And then I respect her for sharing that information. I will admit, Gary, that I had that same kind of tinge of, is she telling us this to kind of save herself? But I don't think she has that vindictiveness that would require. Mm-hmm. It doesn't strike me as Blair, but you know, obviously I've seen an edited version of her. So, and then of course, you know, hashtag twirl for Peggy. So I'll give my snaps to, you know, hashtag twirl for Peggy.
Yeah. I think, you're right. Like the emotional points are like the things that really kind of stood out, in terms of like, if it's a roller coaster or an amusement park ride, like what are the biggest kind of thrill memory points that you're going to have from this? And so, I think Eureka explaining the significance of seeing her mom and her sister was like kind of the key to all of it. Cause the video of them actually talking, it's just family, you know, being supportive and rah, rah, we're here to cheer you on. And we know you're going to do good, that kind of stuff. But Eureka response to it, how she handled it and then explaining like the significance. The part that got me was when she was like, my mama wasn't even talking when I left for here. Like she wasn't able to. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I didn't really expect my heart to be ripped out of my chest this episode, but I guess that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Well, and that kind of, I think that's happened before. In several, I mean, obviously we've had several heartstrings pulled along the way through the years, but that particular moment hearkened me back to, Alyssa Edwards, when she was on season 6 or season 7 and her dad came on the screen. Mm-hmm. And she literally froze and went, oh my God, that's my dad. You know, it was one of those just strikes to the throat. And it just, I mean, we've had a lot of emotional moments, but those were that Eureka's mom talking and seeing what that kind of did to her hearkened me back to Alyssa Edwards and her dad. So it really kind of went, oh, that's a good one. You know, for me, I thought, oh, this is, yep, that's a big deal.
Right. And I think like family has significance, obviously, in these videos. In some seasons, and it's been pretty rare, there's only been friends that are on camera, which should be more poignant because there isn't a family member on camera. And usually the contestant at that point has already revealed like they don't really have, they're not connected to their family anymore for whatever reason. I always feel like those don't have the same impact as actual family does, especially parents. Like siblings, that's fine. If you happen to have kids, that's great. But it's usually like the people that brought you into the world, or at least raised you, seem to have the most impact in that case. Yeah. So Ginger was saying also, you know, twirl for Peggy. And she said that she doesn't think that it was an emotional play from Blair. She thinks that if she, meaning Blair, didn't say something, that type of conversation would never happen on the show, which is interesting because I don't necessarily think many queens go on to the contest of the show with an agenda to have a platform, meaning I have a thing that I want to draw attention to and have a discussion about. I think it naturally comes up. So what was it? Season 9 was the discussion about Pulse and, you know, the dangers of performing at clubs and venues and that kind of stuff with, you know, people can, you know, potentially convicting or creating hate crimes. So I think there's been like under discussions of things. And so we all get a little education about some stuff. And I don't think that Blair came to the show thinking I'm going to have a discussion about this. However, as it kind of came about and she ended up putting it out there, I think she realized if you're going to own it and make it known, like this is it. I mean, there isn't anything you could do outside of this, except if you were like at a, I don't know, a deity level to rearrange the stars to spell out words or something. Yeah, so I think that was pretty interesting. So, Mark, we talked about your snaps. What about your eye rolls?
My eye rolls this week are, again, for the vixen, thinking for reals. And I'm going to say she was genuine in that feeling that she was safe. But that that outfit just was like, I've seen it. It's been done before. And you shouldn't get away with it. Yeah. I don't think she should have gotten away with that. And I was shocked Michelle didn't call her out for it. And maybe she did. And it just was kind of one of those things that got edited out. But at the same time, doesn't happen very often. I love me some Michelle, but she let that slide. And I was surprised that she didn't go, girl, we've seen this before. But that was my
editing.
I'm going to leave it to an edit. And I hate to say that because I know I'm agreeing with Fifi O'Hara, you know, it's all in the edit, but let's face it. It is in the edit, but I was disappointed. If Michelle didn't bring it up, if she didn't bring it up, I'm disappointed. But if she did, and they just didn't put it in there, fine, I'll let it go. So that was my eye roll.
As I saw online in the discussion, her look was not polished. So, like, yes, it was creative. Yes, it was handcrafted. It was made from hats, which has sort of been done before. Well, not sort of. It actually has been done before, even within, I think, this season. So that's part of the issue. Now that I think about it is, was it Ms. Cracker or Aquaria? I think it was Ms. Cracker that did the – it was on the Drag on a Dime, right? Very first episode where she turned out the look with the navy large brim hat.
That was Miss Cracker. Yes, it has been done.
Right. So that's even more detrimental is it's the same exact season and you turned out. Now, as far as like the black and white, I thought that was a good selection, but I can understand where the criticism comes from. Like it just wasn't finished, meaning it looked okay, but there was just like there. If you look close enough, it was a little Michael's Joanne Fabrics, like, you know, kind of arts and craftsy. It wasn't quite to the level I think that everyone was desiring from it. And I personally had an issue with this side of the outfit, like her right side, the exposed bra. Like, I don't know. I was just like, I would have been happier if you had mirror imaged all the flair and something. I don't know. That was
her entire butt was hanging out. And I have no problem with a drag queen showing off her back end. I love me some detox. I do. But if you're going to show off your butt, do not lay that thong string down your pantyhose. I'm just like, it just makes me go, girl, what are you thinking? Everybody can see that. But I digress.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, and like Ginger Tea Time says, she also thought it was a similar silhouette to the Vixen's initial entrance look, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in a way, it kind of wore her mm-hmm. instead of her wearing it. Yeah, it was interesting, to say the least. So, Chester, anything that was a highlight or a low light for you?
No, I'm going to agree with everything so far because when I was taking my own notes, that was the thing that I wrote down. I was like, what the hell is the Vixen wearing? Because it was so bad. And, you know, I'd hate to say it, but it reminds me of Miss Dida in Tu Wong Fu. There's a scene where she's wearing that really huge fucking hat. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes, and that's part of the problem with some of the hats is that they weren't proportional. Like, if the hat is the focus, the hat should be like drag. You know, it should be ridiculous, and that was, I think, part of the issue that they were having. As they're like even Ms. Cracker's hair, the consistency I heard since the show aired was, it's cute as an idea, and girl, we give you props for spending 12 hours on it, but maybe you should have spent 14 or 16. Like, yeah. It just would have been better if it had been bigger. Like, had she pulled out the Ben de la Creme hat from All-Star Season 3, like, final panel where they select who goes on to the end, that's a hat. That big ass red thing, I mean, it was like a flying saucer. And everybody was like, where the hell did you bring that from, bitch? Like, there's only so much luggage room. So for me, in terms of like highlights and lowlights, I do think that Eureka like knocked it out of the park in terms of the drag panel, also on the runway. I know that all of my kink friends probably who are into Drag Race like lost their shit seeing her walk out in so much houndstooth that they could have made a shit ton of hankies out of it.
Evan, as soon as Eureka came out, Evan's like, oh, that's houndstooth. I know what that is. I want to get a shirt with that on there. And I'm like, okay, you're not wearing that to the bar.
What? Well, maybe he's turning a leaf. Maybe he might be into that. I mean, it really made me think for a moment because I know what houndstooth is flagging for. And I thought, oh, well, maybe Eureka likes a little nom nom nom. I don't know. We'll see how that portrays. But no, she and a lot of people were comparing her to Carmen Sandiego. Like, she had this villainess kind of look to her. So I thought that that was really good. But I do want to give special recognition to someone who unfortunately was safe and not in the top. And that's Asia O'Hara. That runway, as far as I'm concerned, won the whole fucking runway challenge. And here's the kicker I could not get over. Her hat apparently is an IKEA lampshade, like, or a lamp that you could actually buy at IKEA. This is what I've been told.
Yep. Yeah. Evan said the same thing when she came out with that. Oh my gosh, that's from IKEA. And I'm like, I go to IKEA like twice a month and I've never once seen that.
I will put money. It's probably two, if not three, of those IKEA lampshades. And right. I give her credit for seeing potential in it, but I think she added the poof that's in the flower or in the white thing. She added the poof to the middle of it.
Right. I believe like her hair, like her base, that kind of stuff is what she structured. But I had heard that there's a theory that the whole thing just comes apart. Like, all of the stems come out. And so that's how she was able to pack it, because you just had like the center console or whatever you want to call it, structural piece. And then you just had to stick all of those rods in to make the big dandelion sphere. But when bitch walked out, I was like, oh, she won. Like, and I knew that she didn't do that great on the panel because their panel was a bit of a mess. I got what they were going for because they were bouncing between her and Aquaria, because they knew that her putting on a lash and Aquaria putting glitter on her lips was going to be dead air and a little boring. So they decided to bounce and like, okay, well, she's putting on a lash, we're going to focus on the lip and then go back and forth. But of course, in the edit, it becomes so obvious that everybody's like, wait, what? Like, so I felt bad for her because I was like, that kind of didn't go as you wanted.
I got to give them credit. They tried to fill, they saw the dead space and they took action to fill it. I will agree with you there. But yeah, what they did just didn't quite do what they wanted it to do.
I think they would have been better off if they had explained the structure and the outline and had stayed segmented, like block A, block B, block C, and then D was using Bryce. That was my favorite part of the panels, honestly, as a sidebar comment, that they used Bryce from the pit crew for all three panels. So first they did body, and then they did face, and then they did hair. So in the by the end of all three panels, he was redone from top to bottom. So I thought that was pretty creative and a good use of like them actually executing some of the stuff that they talked about in that case. So yeah, no, it was pretty good. And then the lowlights, I just felt bad for the girls with the hair because they really did not do any educating at all. I think they missed the mark big time on that.
It's pretty sad when the highlight of your panel is the free hair at the end. You know, when they were throwing
that
out,
was so fucking weird.
When they were throwing out the prizes, I just went, well, at least there's an upside. Some girls went home with some synthetic hair. So, you know, there's a win there somewhere. Yeah.
Ginger says, also, snaps to Monique's glitter and Jesus moment. So I will say this. I don't know if Monique Hart is going to make it all the way till the end, but I live for this queen because she is so brazenly blah. Like, she's just like not like overly loud, but she has a quip for so many things. She knows how to be funny and quick about stuff. Like in confessional, she's always just, she's killing me because she has so much confidence. It just, it makes me want to pee my panties. I'm just like, what is with this girl? Cause she just, she has a statement for everything. So yeah, she definitely did pretty well, I think, in that arena. Are we ready to move on to last call?
Yeah, I'm ready if you are.
Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
So last call, these are our final thoughts. Mark is our guest. What do you think as we wrap up and we move into the next episode?
So my notes are kind of long, but I was happy to see that Eureka finally just kind of went, acknowledged that she is a force in a room. And I was so impressed with her when she dialed herself in for the panel and it was balanced and everything worked. I was really happy with Eureka this week because she was able to kind of take all of her energy and spread it around across her team and dial it in and run as part of a team and be successful. And I was also happy that she kind of started building bridges again. You know, when she said, you know, I know I'm a lot to handle and I can, you know, be big and I owe y'all some apologies and things. And she owned some of her own things too. So I was like, oh my gosh, Eureka's had a moment too. And then my last thought on this week is, yes, next week is Snatch Game. And I'm excited to see what Bianca has to say because girl's got some opinions. Let's, you know, give her some space. And then obviously the penultimate question of the season is who should go home and why is finally being asked. And you better check your edges, check your alliances and your friends because it's going to get real.
So Chester, are you a happy like observer? Yes.
I've been waiting for this all season. It's my favorite episode because to me, Snatch Game always like sets off who's gonna make it to the end compared to who's gonna make it in the bottom.
Agreed.
This is where the talent really kind of hits the road in terms of can you achieve kind of an iconic moment? Because there's a couple of things that happened in Snatch Game for the coming week. You have to make Rue laugh. You have to land jokes and you have to personify whoever it is that you're being. Do you have to be an impersonator of them? No. So, yes, when Chad Michaels is on and she does Cher, everybody expects that. Like, that's not that big of a deal. The fact that she does, what is it, like 6 or 7 Cher outfit changes in the course of the Snatch Game. All right. Like, that was like kind of pushing it. But, you know, we've seen many like abysmal Snatch Game performances, and then we've seen some killer, like amazing spot on or outlandish performances that really kind of work. So, yeah, this next week with the 8 queens, and I expect it to be 8-4 on the top row, 4 on the bottom row. None of this Kristen Chenoweth as a guest judge planting herself into the fucking Snatch Game, whatever that shit was from All-Stars Season 3. Like, I'm still kind of befuddled by that all this time later.
She had a whole filler. Kristen Chenoweth is, you know, 4'9" or whatever. She's an itty bitty, but they put her in there to fill a hole because they needed to fill that front row. And it just.
I'm hoping from the preview that the Snatch Game is actually funny. But we know how they edit shit, and they tend to make like bad things look bad, which are never really bad. So I'm worried that they're doing the reverse in the 180 of the direction, which is they're making it look funnier than it is. Like, that the reactions are the only funny reactions that we get, and everything else does not go well. I'm hoping that's not the case. That will disappoint me. You bring up a good point, though, Mark, about the penultimate question. It hasn't been asked yet this season, but we are reaching the halfway point. So it does make sense that with the final 8 that Rue drops the bomb of the question to say who should go home and why. And I think this could get a little interesting. For me personally, I think we have some definitive front runners now. I think Eureka has got her head in the game and got her shit together, basically. I think that she has potential to make it to top 3. I think Asia O'Hara has proven herself to be like part of top 3. And then after that, I'm not really sure. I hate to say that, but it's a little murky to me. Cameron Michaels, I think, has potential. She started to come out from the back row in her panel. We were like, oh, she has a little bit of personality. She can be a little funny. She finally branded herself as, what did she say? The body queen, the body Barbie queen.
Muscle Barbie queen.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, well, finally, like, we got an idea as to like how you see yourself. I thought she did good in that panel talking about like her body size and how she's learned to readjust that. I also thought it was interesting in the episode where, what is it, Asia sees that picture of her and is freaking out because she's like, you went from being a ladyboy kind of look to a dude. And Cameron opened up about like how the running thing back home is that every time she had a boyfriend, she stopped doing drag and how that kind of affected her and different stuff like that. So I thought that was good that we got a little bit more character background on Cameron. So I don't know though if she'll make it to top 3.
If Cameron suddenly blossoms fully, then yeah, the potential is there. I don't know yet. I'm still not sold on Eureka. I will be surprised if the Vixen makes it to final 3. I think she's getting to the end of her string. Also, wasn't Monet Exchange? Who's the girl? She says, I brought some looks and a lot of fabric, and she cranked out that sequin thing in like a half an hour.
That's Monique. She revealed something very interesting that I know is a lot of chatter online right now. She said, I did not have outfits. I brought bolts of fabric. Like, I brought stuff to make things with. And I was like, well, that's interesting because that's not what the current version of Drag Race is known for. There's a lot of discussion about how, like, you find out that you're picked for the season and very quickly you like take out fucking financial loans, like to bring multi-$1,000 outfits to be able to try to compete. And I find that very interesting that she was like, nope, I brought a bunch of shit and I'm just going to like cut stuff and glue it and sew it or whatever. So yeah, Monique is, you know, she opened up also about the fact that she's from, is it the West Indies? I think she said originally. And so, yeah, the kind of stuff I found interesting. So I don't know. We'll see where we go. Because basically now we've got left Aquaria, Asia O'Hara, Eureka, Cameron Michaels, Miss Cracker, Monet Exchange, Monique Hart, and the Vixen. So those are our eight.
I think the Aquarius, I don't see Aquaria making final three. Miss Cracker's on the fence. I think, again, I think she's 70% there. Miss Cracker's got some developing to do too to make final three, I think.
I think she could make final three. It's just weird that she's not really landed. And I could see where, like, in that Untucked, I thought that was really interesting. Like, she thought she was going to be the bottom two. And so Eureka's given her a little pep talk. She's like, if Eureka doesn't win, I'm thinking Eureka becomes a contender for fan favorite. Just because she's been pulling these Mayhem Miller Oprah moments where she's like, you know, kind of counseling and guiding the girls and saying, girl, you got this. You know what you're doing. And I thought it was a comical little moment because she was talking to Ms. Cracker about how, like, you're funny, but you're not funny with other people. Like, you need to be funny alone. And then she was a little offended for a moment because they misunderstood each other. But I got where Ms. Cracker was coming from. Like, she almost had a breakdown because she was like, I'm a comedy queen. It hurts to be on stage to be told you're not funny. And we've heard this before from other girls. Like I'm a singer and they're telling me they don't like my singing, or they think I'm, you know, I'm a body, you know, queen, and they don't like what I'm presenting. I mean, they kind of struggle with that. So I don't know. Chester, you have any thoughts along the final group?
No, not really. Yeah. No. I was thinking if I had anything wrote down, but I did write something about Cameron Michaels and how, you know, his message shit. I quoted it. But unfortunately, my paper's downstairs. But he did have a positive message with that. It's going to bug me because I can't remember what he said.
About how you can have a very masculine body, but you could also serve like a feminine queen.
No, it was a very inspirational thing that he said.
Okay. I know that Cameron's kind of revelation a little bit, which is what happens for a lot of the girls, is, and that's the whole point of the show. Like, Michelle talks about it all the time. Like, the girls that put in audition tapes, the reason that you don't get on the show, they say consistently, is because you're not trying to be yourself. You're trying to be what you think we want, like, for casting. And it's like, no, we need you to be you. Like, you have to be unique. You have to be different. You have to be yourself. Like, we're not looking for one of a, you know, a thousand other or multi-thousands of other queens that have a certain look or a certain whatever. So I find that interesting that Cameron was basically saying back home, you know, when I went through this transformation physically and I, you know, built myself up, one of the criticisms that I got was that I was, you know, I had too much muscle. And so she decided, she's like, you know what? Well, fine. Like, this is what I want to be. This is how I want to be. So if I'm going to be a muscle queen, then let me be like a superhero version of a muscle queen, kind of thing. And I thought that was an interesting take to basically say, I figured out my channel, my path, my lane, whatever you want to call it. So, good deal. All right. Any other thoughts before we wrap up and finish?
Nope. Just I'm looking forward to next week.
I agree. I think Snatch Game will be interesting. And as we've all learned, I pray that none of the eight of them try to be RuPaul, because if there's anything that Trixie Mattel learned in All-Star Season 3, never try to be the host.
Because we didn't learn that when Milk did it in the Ru interpretation season 6 or 7. We didn't learn that then. Come on.
Well,
learn from your predecessors.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's what we'll see next week, is some crashing and burning.
Well, and inevitably, somebody that, you know, is, I've got this, I'm set, is going to crash and burn. And somebody that's not so sure is going to succeed. And, you know, those people that succeed, I think, are the ones that are nervous. The ones that go in going, I've got this, I've locked it, I'm funny, I'm ready, are the ones that kind of crash and burn sometimes.
I think you have a point, Mark. And what I'm looking forward to is I'm hoping we get like some crazy kind of out of the box stuff that we don't expect, like Katya's Bjork, Bendela Krem's Maggie Smith, like characters you just kind of don't expect, as opposed to like Katy Perry or Beyonce. Like, I think pop culture entertainers are a little boring to me. I appreciate someone who goes in a direction not expected.
Right.
So I'm hoping that's what happens next week. It's interesting in the live chat. Ginger Tea Time says Cameron's totally a sleeper soldier. I'm just waiting. So I think that's interesting. It's kind of a vote for Cameron pulling up in the race. And then she also said Cracker is my choice for Miss Congeniality, either her or Monet Sponges. Which, to be fair, Monet Sponges have not necessarily made an appearance in an episode or two. But I did see a meme online that made me laugh that one of Monet Sponges made an appearance backstage in one of the shows. It's like someone caught it in a freeze frame and zoomed in on it, that she actually had either stuck a bit of sponge in her cleavage or on her nose or something while she was standing at the back at like during critiques or some shit. And I thought that was so funny. I was like, she...
Nice. Monet Sponge has been in almost every episode. However, Miss Vanjie has been in every episode.
That is so true. Oh, and if you haven't seen online, this is not the exact thing, but let me give you an idea of something. So if you happen to be going to DragCon LA, you will see that they will have these buttons, only they are hot pink and it says shade. This is the Staples Easy button, but it's a little button and it plays a sound clip. And the RuPaul ones are going to be selling at LA Drag Con. When you press the shade thing, it has that little like, you know, sound. So it's cracking me up because all I keep thinking is if Vanessa Vanjie Matteo was a smart queen, she would have a fuck ton of these things. That is of her just saying Vanjie. She would make a mint, I think, but we shall see how that plays itself out. That being said, so let's wrap up. If you want to get in touch with us, there's plenty of ways to do it. Obviously, you can go visit our website/blog, which is cubsoutloud.com. You can also send us an email, which is cubsoutloud@gmail.com. If you want to give us a call and leave a voicemail, you can do that by calling 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Facebook, Twitter, Google+, pretty much all the main social media. You type in Cubs Out Loud as one word, you'll find us. Also on Telegram, which is kind of like Facebook Messenger, only better. We have two chat threads that are on there. One is for Cubs Out Loud, and then we also have Cubs Out Loud DR. So if you want to join, the link to do so is tinyurl.com/telegram, that's TELEGRAM, hyphen and capital letter COLDR. And we had a couple of people join us in the past week, so I'm super excited for them to come online. And for that particular chat group, we actually try to keep all the spoiler stuff settled for at least about 48 hours or so after the episode airs. That way everybody like has an opportunity to kind of watch before we start spilling tea in our chat on there. And of course, Chester loves it on there because people post all sorts of memes and articles and videos from other places. So it's not just strictly about the episode. It's pretty much damn near anything. I mean, heck, Drew is like posting about every show in Ohio and Michigan he hears of that someone's touring and traveling to go see someone. Also, if you're interested, I don't have it on right now, but we do have a merchandise online store at zazzle.com/cubsoutloud. And there are things for COL Drag Race, which is our bear head with a little crown. It says Drag Race on it. I'm not wearing that because instead I chose to wear my Todrick Hall unicorn give no fucks Vogue sweatshirt that I picked up when I saw him on tour because I just couldn't help it. It's from his music video, Dem Beats. So, you know, She's a queen. And I was like, I just had, and it only came in like a sweatshirt. So I had to get the sweatshirt, but sweatshirt's a little tight because, you know, I'm a big boy, and apparently they didn't like getting big boy sizes. But that being said, also, if you would like to support Cubs Out Loud, you could go to patreon.com/Cubs Out Loud. What's Patreon? Well, Patreon is a great way to help support the podcast. You can donate as little as $1 a month up to other levels are $2, $5, $10, or anything in between. And by doing so, you give us the ability to give you great rewards for being a supporter of the show, as well as helping us get better equipment and some other things to come in the future. So you can do that if you would like. Also, anywhere that you find us online, iTunes, you can rate us, Stitcher Radio, and give us a thumbs up. Here on YouTube, where you're seeing us live for the video portion, you can actually, you know, give us a thumbs up, leave comments, that kind of stuff. We appreciate the feedback. And then we take this video and we turn it into the audio RSS feed. So we're available for your eyes and ears, or just your ears, whichever you prefer. That being said, if you would like to get in touch with any of us, I can be found pretty much anywhere online as Gary. That's GarBear73, G-A-R-B-E-A-R-7-3. Chester, how do they reach out and touch you? I mean, get in touch with you.
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name The Pup Up There, or various bear dating sites across the net under the name Pupshotter or Cupcake76.
Mark, as our extra special guest host this week, if people want to get in touch with you, how would they do so?
Well, they can reach out and tumble me or tweet me. I don't really am not on Twitter that much, but I do have a Twitter. I'm under Wingman DBQ. So that's where I am. I'm on the Tumblrs and the tweets. So that's reach out, touch me. It's fun.
Mark wants to be touched with all the T's. So there you go. That said,
I wouldn't object. Let's negotiate and figure that out.
Woo, negotiation. Love it.
Exactly. It's all consent is awesome.
Consent, baby. All right. So we're going to finish out the show like they do actually on the actual episode with RuPaul's song, Take It to the Moon. Go, go.